You are Locked On Wolverines, your daily podcast on the Michigan Wolverines, part of the Locked On Podcast Network.
Good morning. Happy Monday. Morning is 6:22 p.m. As always, Locked On Wolverines podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, where it is your team every day. I am your man on the ground, Isaiah Hull, publisher of Wolverines Wire through USA Today Sports Media Group. Late start again today. We're going to be intermittent between the, if we can get one in the morning, we'll get it in the morning. We can, some days it might still be evening. Once we get to the season, it'll be a different story. For now, tomorrow we will be earlier, not necessarily early, but earlier, because we do have a special guest. We are going to start, I don't know that we'll necessarily do the every week thing yet. With Pro Football Focus, we will be having Anthony Treisch from Pro Football Focus will be joining us on tomorrow on Tuesday's show. So really looking forward to that. Obviously, we'll have some things to get into there. Today, we're going to be very brief because I don't think there's a whole lot that I have because I didn't really cover the recruiting aspect when it came to barbecue at the Big House. Did like seeing that Josh Connerly was on campus, five-star from Washington. That's huge. We are going to cover right out the gates the big news in college football today, which is, man, Ohio State. What did I tell you about Ohio State falling upwards? Continue to fall upwards. Now you've got, and I know they say 3 5 stars because C.J. Stroud, I think 24/7 game of five, but composite wise, he's not that high. I'm going to look that up, but nonetheless, Kyle McCord is a 5-star. Again, I think he's not a composite one either. But then you have the composite number one in Quinn Ewers. It was supposed to be 2022. Now he's 2021. It's like, come on, right? So C.J. Stroud was 42 overall, according to the composite. So that answers that. It's just so Ohio State just does not quit. Kyle McCord was a 5-star in the composite, 27 overall. It just seems like no matter what, like, he's like, right, Michigan fans are excited about J.J. McCarthy. Like, that's the future. And he's a 5-star composite guy, 24 overall. He's rated 3 higher than Kyle McCord, but getting Quinn Ewers could be that game changer, right? Now, Kyle McCord's been around for a second, right? I think he enrolled early at Ohio State. I'm not 100 on that. C.J. Stroud's been around for a full year. Quinn Ewers comes in as the Trevor Lawrence game-changing type guy for Ohio State. So remember what I've been saying. You know what? That at some point, they're not going to have a quarterback as good as the predecessors. Now, maybe it will take a couple weeks, but by the time that Michigan game comes along, they probably will. It is so frustrating watching Ohio State just not ever take a step back from anything and have a guy so good that he doesn't even fall in the rankings in 2021, right? He's so good, they're like, yep, well, he's still number one. Doesn't matter if it's this upcoming class or this class. And it's just, what do you do with that? Then again, maybe, and this wasn't like a consensus one, anywhere close to one, but like, it's no guarantee that any of these guys pan out. Tate Martell is at UNLV now, right? He's on his third school. Didn't pan out, and he was a 5-star guy. I remember following Tate Martell well before Ohio State was the destination. I remember when he committed to Texas A&M. So it is just unbelievable, though, that it's just the rich just keep getting richer, right? Ohio State's 2021 class is just scary. That's the other annoying thing overall. Because you look now that Kyle McCord's not at the top there, at the 24/7, or not, Quinn Ewers, rather, and I'm not making any sense anyway, but now they have the number one, the number four, the number five, the number 10, the number 19, the number 23, the number 28 prospect in 2021. Two of the five-star quarterbacks in one class. At the same time, how do you feel if you're Kyle McCord? You know? You came in probably thinking, all right, I've got my shot. I just got to battle Miller and C.J. Stroud here. Nope. You are now in the same class with the number one overall guy. That's got to be a little bit of a kick. Today's transfer portal, what have you, you have to imagine someone is not going to stay there. But again, Ohio State falls upwards. So that might not be the case. They'll see them all play at some point. It's just crazy, man. I don't know what you do with that. Do not know what you do with that. And not only does Ohio State have the number one guy in the composite, remember, JT Tumalau was the number one guy in the top 24/7 on their own proprietary rankings. He's number two with Quinn Ewers having reclassified. But, hey, Michigan's got still got a five-star in that because they used to go 32 deep. They've got – and they do go 32 deep, but if they only named 32 guys – that would bump Donovan Edwards out of the five-star stats because he was number 32. And J.J. McCarthy's down at 38. So Ohio State finding ways to beat Michigan in ways that, I don't know. It's so ridiculous. Frustration. Anyway, let's talk about Built Bar. Y'all know how much I love Built Bar. I have bought several. With my own personal financiers. If you don't know what Built Bar is, it is a protein bar that tastes like a candy bar. They're so good, I can't help but eat two at a time. They're that good. They really are. Peanut butter brownie is insane. Insane. They've only gotten better. So you haven't tried Built Bar in a couple. Like if you went and tried it when I first recommended it back last year spring during the early COVID-19 days. And you were like, yeah, it was pretty good. I'm telling you, whatever flavor you had got better. And it's low sugar, low carb, low calorie, high protein. You just can't beat it. So go to BuiltBar.com, put in promo code LOCKED15, BuiltBar.com, LOCKED15, to get your next box or your first box. Highly recommend it. Listen, I am impartial generally when it comes to Michigan, even though I am the optimist. That's just kind of how I am. I still get frustrated when Ohio State does good things. I respect the heck out of that program for sure. But once I started covering Michigan, you know, you learn that you have to be able to turn off the fandom. I know a lot of people don't believe that, but if you end up being in my shoes, you can't let a loss ruin your weekend, you know? As soon as that loss happens, you've got to face Jim Harbaugh and the players, and then you got to go to work. But when it comes to Ohio State, Michigan State, I still have a really hard time, you know? I can't turn off the hate necessarily, you know? Spent my whole life hating particularly Michigan State. Ohio State wasn't much of a threat in the 90s. I didn't know that we were supposed to hate them. I was more of an NFL guy. I didn't pay attention to the tradition and the lore of Michigan until I was in school for my second stint. Then I started paying attention, caring. Certainly, 2006, really hated Ohio State. But, yeah, you know, it's... I can't really turn it off completely. Seeing the logo, seeing the colors, it does make, like when I see it in person particularly, it's a mix of being awe-inspired and annoyed. It's a little different though too, because I know people who have gone to play for Ohio State, you know? It's different when they're not just nameless, faceless names that happen to, or, you know, people that you don't really know about, or you're just reading about, right? It's easy to take a look at those guys and just kind of say they're evil. You know what I mean? But when you start to actually know them, once you have, like, guys' phone numbers in your phone, you know, that they end up committing to Ohio State, and guys that you know are, like, good, genteel, what have you, it makes it harder to do it, but it's still, like, it's just as much as I talked about their Manchurian candidateness with them in the Michigan thing, I still, like, if I see the Scarlet and Gray, I still get that twinge that I don't like those guys. I think Ryan Day makes him a little harder to hate too. I mean, they're really good, but he doesn't come across the same as Urban Meyer or Jim Tressel or a lot of these other ones that were villains. Mel Tucker, I think, could have that for Michigan State. It's hard to hate Mel Tucker in my position. But, man, I don't like getting razzed by friends, especially now because I don't care that much. You know, like I said, can't let a loss ruin your day. Whereas, like, when I was a fan, there was just and like, we're just kind of spitballing here. Not really spitballing, but just talking here instead of having, like, a traditional here's our topic. But I just think back to, like, when I was living in L.A., newly graduated from Michigan, going either to Hollywood Billiards in 2008 or South when that became the Michigan bar, and it's changed since then, I'm sure. South was awesome. It was in Santa Monica. It was like a New Orleans Cajun restaurant. But that became the place to watch. But, like, Michigan loses, bring on the beers, you know. Let's drown the sorrows. Let's get let's go to bed early. Let's wake up in the middle of the night and watch SportsCenter reruns and just pout. That used to be what it was, but things change. It's weird how that happens. But no, it doesn't change. This is what's different for me compared to it seems like a lot of you out there, because I was talking to my best friend earlier today. And he was saying, like, he's still not there yet as far as excitement. Like, he's starting to feel like that football fever a little bit, but it's more like, well, maybe I'll watch a Michigan game. Because he's just as disillusioned as a lot of you out there. He hasn't had to turn it off, the fandom. But whereas I don't care as much about wins or losses, it's a lot more fun when they win, I'll tell you that. Just walking around campus over the weekend. I took Zuri. We walked around the athletic campus yesterday. We get over by the Cannon Manatorium by Reveille Hall on Hoover. As we're, like, rounding the corner from onto Hoover after coming down from the stadium, start hearing drums. That's right. The drum line is practicing. And I'll tell you, I got chills just walking all the way. I wanted to stop, but it's like that would have just been weird, you know. But I just got chills, and suddenly my whole body felt that feeling that we didn't get last year, right? Like, yeah, we had football. I was fortunate enough to be one of very few people that got to go to every Michigan game last year. But that didn't feel the same, right? Walking up to an empty stadium, no tailgates, no nothing. No marching band. Hearing some semblance of the marching band. The drum line's what gets me in general anyway. Just hearing the cadences and whatnot. And just, I got chills because it's like, it's really happening. We are a month and 2 days away from full Big House, from marching band, from ladies and gentlemen, the Michigan marching band. Yes, that's my Carl Grappentin impression. It's probably fallen off a lot over the years because I don't practice it like I used to when I was a fan. But anyway, my point here is I think and I hope that a lot of you change your level of excitement once we start drawing near. And I'm sure it will. Like, I'm sure, like, people are going to be excited to tailgate again. But just to not have that thing that's missing, to get back in that sense of community, that thing that brings us all together, even media and fans, right? Even just the discourse of getting to see that thing that we love, college football. In the case of a lot of Michigan fans, see the thing that you love to hate to love, you know? It's to me, it's just so exciting that we are almost there. I'm not ready to lose summer yet. I love the warm weather. Some years it seems like football season starts and boom, jackets. Some years it's like we're in October and I'm down at Indiana in 2017 and it's 90 degrees outside, you know? That unpredictability of what the weather is going to do. So I'm not ready to lose summer yet, but I am still getting excited. I hope you guys are too. All right, let's continue talking. We'll address some state of the team type stuff here momentarily. Before we do, betonline.ag, it is the fastest and easiest way to bet on all your sports action. Listen, football is over for now. It's coming back in a month, less than a month if you're looking at some week zero games. NBA, NHL, those are on hiatus now, but Major League Baseball, that's in full swing. BetOnline even covers award shows, TV shows, reality TV. Real-time updated odds and props on almost anything that you can imagine. BetOnline has you covered for all the news, the scores, and the odds. It is the best way to place your bets. And guess what? It is free to sign up. So head over to betonline.ag, sign up today, use the promo code LOCKEDON to receive that 50% welcome bonus with your first deposit. BetOnline, your online sportsbook experts. I will admit, this is the most meandering episode we've had in a while. I told you last week, you know, we're going to take a little bit of a dip, but we're still going to do 5 episodes this week. That's how it's going to go. It'll start being more normal because we should be having media availability in the very near future, which is very exciting. But for now, it's taking a little bit of a dip. It just is what it is. Going to still want to give you something to ruminate on, so giving you some personal thoughts and stories and whatever. So, talking of personal thoughts and less story, I think I mentioned this last week, and it's worth saying again. Without having seen practice, again, Ohio State to me is out of reach, unfortunately, barring something. I really do think that this Michigan team has a chance to be a lot better than what people think. And it's like what I said the day before Big Ten Media Days. I feel like this reminds me a lot of going into 2015. Without the excitement of having Jim Harbaugh as being the head coach. But roster-wise, very similar. You've got some promising quarterbacks. I don't think anyone was really thinking Jake Rudock was like the savior when he came, right? It was just a castaway from Iowa. Michigan doesn't have that right now. I mean, they have a castaway from Texas Tech, but... you know, right now still projecting Cade to win that job. You've got some really good receivers. I think your receivers room is better than 2015. Darbo and Chesson ended up being very good, right? I think you could think that Cornelius Johnson and Dalen Baldwin, Mike Sainer still, Roman Wilson, A.J. Henning, Andrew Anthony, Christian Dixon. I think you've got a lot of really nice pieces that could really be breakout players. I like the running backs room better. Even though, yeah, you had 2 5 stars at that time and Derek Green and Ty Isaac. Nonetheless, I mean, you've got one, but some high upside guys like Hassan Haskins and Blake Corum. I like the offensive line. I like some of the potential of some of those defensive line guys. I like the, now that we know for sure kind of that outside linebacker, it isn't, you know, a lot of times it was like, well, is it going to be some of those other guys that are linebackers? Are going to be, obviously Ben Van Sumeren ran off, went to MSU, but is it going to be some of those types of guys as outside linebackers, or is it all going to be defensive end? Sounds like it's all going to be defensive end types. Inside, that makes you feel a little bit better inside because now you're filling two positions and not three. Back four, feel good at least about three of them. We'll see how the DJ Turner and Vincent Gray battle goes. But ultimately, and I know there's things I can't share, of course, and based off of some private conversations I had with, you know, I can tell you because we were at that event, you know, some of those people that you saw articles on, Mozzie Smith and Andrew Stuber and Cade McNamara, Josh Ross. I feel a lot better about where the team is heading and what it can be. And, you know, you heard from Andy Staples, you know, we talked about Penn State last week on Friday. If you missed that show, definitely listen to it. Andy, it was awesome. I feel like they really can go 9-3, 9-3, and he mentioned that stretch of games. And ultimately, I think the question is, how afraid are you really of Nebraska, at Nebraska? How afraid are you really of Indiana? I know things did not go well last year. But Michigan has no business, no matter what happened last year, to lose to some of those teams. And that includes Michigan State. So, yeah, the schedule is difficult. If you kind of have this feeling of, well, I don't know if Michigan's going to, you know, if Michigan's going to be that much better. If you don't think Michigan's necessarily going to be that much better, then, yeah, it feels like it could be relatively daunting. But I want to go through this very fast, so we're not wasting a lot of time because we've done this before, but I'm just bring it to you with some different thoughts. That stretch that he's talking about was at Wisconsin, at Nebraska, hosting Northwestern, at Michigan State, Indiana, Penn State. That could be daunting, but Michigan should be worlds better than Nebraska. Northwestern, they are very inexperienced, don't have the same defensive coordinator in Mike Hankwitz. They should be taking a step back this year. Michigan State, Michigan had no business losing to Michigan State last year. Lots of transfers in, lots of transfers out. I think Michigan State, I talked to Kalen Gervin a little bit about Mel Tucker, and he said he's a lot tougher on them than Mark D'Antonio. So, I mean, will Michigan State be better? Well, probably be better. How much better? That's hard to say. Indiana, you're not surprising anyone anymore. So you have those bookends at Wisconsin, at Penn State. If Michigan can't emerge, we're not talking about the Penn State game. Andy Staples said they almost need to go 4-1 against that first five. I think they are. At Wisconsin, to me, that they haven't won in Madison since 2001. That's a really difficult one. But they should beat Nebraska. They should beat Northwestern. They should beat Michigan State. They should beat Indiana. The toss-ups should be at Wisconsin, at Penn State. You change the culture. You change the coaching. There is no reason why Michigan can't be successful in those games. I don't think the schedule is nearly as hard as some people are making it out to be, because we've talked about the first four games. I think they should be going into that Wisconsin game at worst 3-1, of course. It all depends on what happens against Washington. And as long as that Wisconsin game doesn't break your back, you keep it close and still lose, all right, it's not ideal. You can rebound at Nebraska and go from there. Get to that Penn State game, hopefully with no more than two losses. And then you got Ohio State. No, a lot of these games aren't layups like they used to be. Used to be Michigan playing Northwestern or Michigan playing Rutgers or Michigan playing Maryland. Yeah, you're going to win that game. Question is by how much. They aren't that type of layup right now. But as much as people want to act like Michigan doesn't have the talent, Michigan is more talented than every other team that I've mentioned in those first 11 games. And that includes Washington. So that's my thoughts. I don't think it's necessarily that tough, but we'll see. I'm leaning towards 9-3 now. Still predicting 8-4, but I'm starting to lean internally which I'm sharing with you towards 9-3. But a lot hinges on that Washington game. And I'd like to see them take one of two, either Wisconsin or Penn State. I don't think either team is a world beater. All right. That's going to do it for us today. We'll be back tomorrow with Anthony Treisch from Pro Football Focus. Appreciate you coming by. We will be back all week long. Talk to you soon. Peace.